through singing, through preaching, but that's only a teaspoon of how he speaks to you. He said, tell them, I'm the Word, and I'm always speaking. So if you go for even 2 days and don't hear from him, that's not his fault. Something is amiss on our end. And that can be, we don't realize how many ways he speaks to us. He speaks to us in dreams and in visions, impressions, audible voice sometimes. Sometimes he speaks through other people, and they don't have to be Christians. They can be some guy on the street corner says something, and you go, wow. He wants you to continually practice listening for him, watching for him, feeling for him, getting that knowing that it's him. Yeah. Even in nature he speaks. He speaks to us in every possible venue to get through to us something. My husband is very good at that. You know, he'll be going along and he'll be telling jokes and I'm not paying attention, and then all of a sudden he'll say something to me and I'll go, oh, okay. Because I recognize the voice of the Lord, and you need to sharpen your spiritual ears because God is moving more mightily now than he ever has. Amen. The river's getting deeper. Amen?
Hallelujah. Woo, good word.
Take it down.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people were praising, singing Hosanna and praising him. Now, they were waving palm branches. Well, we have palms, too, so we can wave our palms today. I wanted to read from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with songs of thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Amen. That whole psalm is great, but we'll stop there. There's such a privilege to be able to worship freely. In Egypt, for Palm Sunday, two churches were bombed. And here we are with such freedom, and sometimes we hold back. And I'm hoping that today you would see this time of worship as a time between you and the Lord. This isn't about a sing-along. This isn't about worrying about who's here and who's not here and who's standing next to you or who's not standing next to you or what you sound like. This is a time between you and the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It's such a privilege, and I want us to realize what a privilege it is. So let's stand together and sing an old Hosanna song.
Full of praise.
exalted, O Lord our God. Hosanna in the highest.
Breath in my us today. Father, we come to you and we commit this time to you in worshiping of you, Lord. We come to hear from you today. We come to learn from you today. We come to be taught by you today. Lord, have your way within our hearts. Have your way within this service. Lord, for you are exalted above all, and your name is above all names. Jesus, be blessed today.
Testing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just want to, a couple of announcements. Our prayer retreat is coming up, men's prayer retreat, from the 21st to the 23rd. We're going to be leaving here, hopefully, at the church building here on Friday afternoon of that particular day, probably about 4:35 and stuff. So if you haven't signed up, sign up now. And if you have the capabilities to sponsor some man, then praise God. Yeah, let's do that. There's some men out there that want to come, but financially they just can't do it. Okay? So sign up. The list is out there. Also, the choir for the Morning of Faith service in July at the Westerner. Hallelujah. Anybody can join the choir. So if you want to sing, you have a heart for that, sign your name up there, put your email on there, and they'll get a hold of you here as soon as I get those names in over there. Amen? Okay. Just want to share a short testimony about hearing the voice of God, what our sister was talking about. So this past Monday, I was at the courthouse. I had to go to court. Apparently, I posted bail for this man last April, last February or something. So they sent me a letter. The guy didn't show. So now I'm going to be out my bail. So I just assumed, I didn't sign the form at the beginning. When I posted the bail, they can sign a form and you get your money back automatically, even if the guy doesn't show. So here I go. I got this letter a month and a half ago, so now I got this court date. So here I was at the courthouse on Monday. And so I was in there, and I said, I was reading over the form, and I said, man, just not worth it. What the heck? I'm out of here. You know, I just got frustrated with it. So I take off, and I go down to the front part there, and I ran into a Christian sister. And I told her, she said, what are you doing here, you know? And I said, I got this court thing and da-da-da-da, you know, not a speeding ticket or anything like that. So she tells me, why don't you just go there and just be there, you know? What's it going to hurt, you know? And just the other words, I forget the exact words that she used. So I said, okay, I'm going to take that from God, that you spoke, and it's from God for me. So I go back upstairs and to 102 there, and thankfully I did, because I left my date timer there. Here it is there. Ah, praise God, you know. So anyway, I stayed, and so the name was called, so I went up, and so who are you, and all this information. So I gave him all my information and stuff, and who I was, and I'd posted bail for this particular fellow, and he had a good story. Boy, oh boy, just an excellent story. I just swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker, and I posted bail for him. And as soon as I posted bail, man alive, to find that guy was just like, holy, where is this guy? You know, I'll meet you here, I'll meet you there. So it was gone, basically. He did end up paying me some money back from it. So anyway, I get up there, and I shared with the judge there, and he says, yeah, I told him who I was, pastor from one of the pastors over at Potter's Hands Ministry, and this is what we do. We do a street ministry. And he says, yeah, I'll just give it back to you. You can have the whole works back. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, for 10 minutes, not even 2 minutes of my time, and I got my bail back. And so when we're sensitive and we hear God's voice, amen, God will do things like that, eh? So thanks be to Jesus Christ, amen? Stan? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just want to thank you for Stan. Thank you for his heart, Lord God. I thank you for the words that are proceeding from his mouth this morning. Holy Spirit, you've been training him and speaking in him and putting words in his mouth, Lord God. I just believe, Lord God, that we're going to hear from you this morning, Jesus, every one of us. So, Lord God, I pray that you'll open up our hearts to hear from you, to apply in our lives this morning. Hallelujah. We ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Is it working? We got it fixed. So yeah, there we go. Welcome. I just, I just get the sense today that we need to break through. I don't know what that means exactly. I just feel like there's some walls or some barriers, or maybe there's some words that have been spoken this week that we just need to find some breakthrough. And one of the ways this helps sometimes is if we just stand up and shake each other's hands and, you know, let's cut the formality here. Let's bless each other. Let's speak peace into each other's lives. Can we do that for just a couple minutes? Let's give each other a hug, encourage one another in the Lord. Place to sit. As Kirsten said, today is Palm Sunday, and this is the day we remember that Jesus rode in as king. He rode in as king, and the people cried out, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's give God a big hand. We should do that, right? Hosanna! Thank you, Jesus. All right. I can feel the walls starting to come down. Maybe it's my walls. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. And maybe Darcy. I don't know where Darcy is, but I'm going to get him to fix my curtain thing because he does that better than me. Praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? After the service, we got a great meal. So I think that's a double portion. That's a double blessing. Yeah, woohoo! So if we can get the preacher to not talk too long, that would be a good thing. I know you need. I don't know how he did it either, but where did he go? Okay. I think he tied it actually somehow with the string. It's okay. It's perfect. That's perfect. It's a little low, but that's our. And we sang a song about that this morning. The temple veil, you know, being torn in two. And over the last number of weeks, I've been preaching a series of sermons on that, what happened when Jesus died. And as he died, the Bible says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and the people were raised to life, and that suddenly we had access to the most holy of holies. We actually have access to God, and we believe that. We don't need to come to God through a priest anymore. We don't need to come to God through some kind of a ritual or some kind of a tradition. But we, each one of us, have access to God ourselves. We can all come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I said last week over and over and over again is that one of the greatest things about all of this is that he lives in me. Right? I think I said it about 18 times. He lives in me. Jesus lives in me. John 14 says, I will be with you and I will live in you. And that if we actually believe that and the implications of that, what does that really mean? That Jesus lives in me, or that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus lives inside of me. If we really believe that, it would just change so much, you know, how we would live and the things that would come out of our mouths, the things that wouldn't come out of our mouths. how we would walk this walk, how we would deal with each other, how we would show mercy to other people, because Jesus is actually living in my heart. He's really living here. Jesus decided when that temple curtain was torn in two, he decided that he would take residence now, not behind the curtain, but in my heart. His new address is here, right? T4N Stan, whatever that is, right? He lives, he's got a new place, he resides. And I don't know, like, I've heard that since I was a little kid. You learn that in vacation Bible school or in kinder or in Sunday school. But it just had a whole new meaning for me. It was like a revelation. It was like, man, Stan, Jesus is living in my heart. Like, he's choosing to live here. He doesn't live in a temple. He doesn't live in some huge building anymore. He doesn't live in a box that is the Ark of the Covenant. He lives in me. He wants to live in me. And then if that's true, and if I really believe that, then I want to keep me clean. The only way that's possible is through his blood. The only way that's possible is by the grace that he gives me. Because I think we can all admit, we all agree, we can't do that on our own. You know, sometimes the harder we try, the more dirty we get. But the cleansing, the purity in me and in you is because of Jesus Christ. Because what he's done. And he says, because I can live in you. Otherwise, I couldn't live in you. I'm going to live in you because I've made you clean. I've forgiven your sins. I've washed you. There's no condemnation. Now, in this temple, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to live in this temple, and it's going to be a good thing. Remember that? And just, I'm going to give you just a couple things before we kind of move into this. And then we're going to finish this next Sunday, by the way, Easter Sunday. Jesus is alive. We're going to get one more time coming back to that torn veil. But just remember what we talked about so far, that really, what we do sometimes, I'm not going to be able to elaborate on this too much. Some of you will just go, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this, barely. But, you know, we sit in the chair. We see that the temple has been torn, or the curtain has been torn. And we sit on the chair and we go, okay, now what, God? And we're waiting for God to come out. The show's about to start. The temple, the veil has been torn in two, and we think that what we're supposed to do is be sitting down, and let's just wait and see what God's going to do. When the reality is, when we really understand what God is saying, why this happened, this amazing event happened, it's God saying, he's not God saying, hey, now I'm coming. I've already come to you, God said. I've already come. I came in the person of Jesus Christ. I was born one of you. Now it's your turn to come to me. And when we're waiting for God to come out, and I think sometimes we spend our whole lives, I know some Christians that all we're doing is just sit there and go, okay, one of these days God's going to show up. Oh, that's going to be good. Can you imagine the revival that's going to happen when that happens? I'm just going to sit here and wait for that to happen. But God says, no, I've called you to come to me. I've called you to come through the curtain. And when we go on the other side of the curtain, one of the things that we talked about last week, when we open the way, we go on the other side of the curtain. What do we find? Not God. God's not on the other side of the curtain because he is in me. He's not on the other side of the curtain. He's living in my heart. But what's on the other side of the curtain is the kingdom of God. And with Jesus in my heart and with the power of the Holy Spirit driving my life, and with him including me and you as builders in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, man, there's nothing we can't do. And that's God's whole purpose. God says, I just want you to hold my hand and let's go for a ride. I'm going to show you amazing things. I'm going to teach you what kind of a Lord I am. I am your Lord. I am the King. And we're going to change this world. I give you the power. I give you the ability to do things that you can't even imagine that you can do. And you're going to do those things with me. Greater things. You're not just going to do them. I'm going to do them with you. Greater things. We're going to change this world. We're going to build the kingdom of God. And we discover that when we go through that veil and when we enter into the kingdom of God, we discover that it's absolutely wonderful and absolutely horrible at the same time. Right? You go through it and we see the amazing wonders of God. It's awesome, everything that God's done. It's just so good. He's so amazing. He's given us so much. And yet, the other side of it, though, is that we see the ravages of the enemy. We see the darkness. We see death. We see cancer. We see addiction. We see all of those things. And that's the reality of what it's like to be a builder in the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing, it's awesome, and it's awful all at the same time. Because we're seeing the brokenness. Because there is the King of Kings, Jesus, he is Lord. He is the Lord, but there's also an enemy who's trying to wreak havoc and trying to bring more darkness. He's trying to destroy lives. Amen? If you're with me, you can say amen once in a while. That helps me, and we'll get done earlier. See, if you don't say it, then I just keep going until I think you get it. Right? So if you want to eat earlier, here we go. Right? He's alive. Jesus is alive. So if we have that power, right, we have the power of Jesus. We have the power to see that the kingdom of heaven is going to be advanced. Okay? We're with that, right? Are you ready with that video? Sorry, I'm falling apart here. I really felt like today, just as we hear God's word, we need to just quiet ourselves a little bit. And the question that God was saying to me this morning is, well, why are you doing this? Why are you coming for worship? Why are you gathering together? And I think sometimes we just kind of push through stuff and we don't even know what we're doing, you know? I'll tell you why I'm here today. I'm here today because I want to hear from God. It's the only thing that matters to me. I just want to hear from God, and I want to receive what he wants me to receive today. I don't want to be pushing through this thing at 100 miles an hour so we can get done, or so that everyone walks out of here and goes, oh, that was a good speak. Right? We need to take a little time, take a breath here. This is a song. I'm just going to play. It's 3 minutes, not very long. And it's meant to prepare us. So we say, God, what do you want us to hear today? I don't know what you're going through and what your week's been like. I got a pretty good sense that some of you have been struggling. Some of you have been fighting. Some of you have been hurting. Some of you are in big debt. And we all, every one of us, all of us, need to be quiet sometimes and receive his peace. So just pray this song. Go ahead.
He is here for the broken, life to the one who is at death. He is peace to the wounded and hope for the helpless one. He is here. He is here. Be still, my soul. Be still. Be still, my soul. Be still. Wait So be still, my soul, be still. Be still, my soul, be still. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Be still, my soul, be still. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Be still, my soul, be still.
I think sometimes we just try too hard. And it isn't about trying. It isn't about yelling louder. It's just about being still and letting God do what he wants to do. When Jesus cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. And the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then in Hebrews, it says, kind of an explanation of that. Therefore, brothers, Hebrews 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Amen? God calls us to come through the curtain. He's torn the veil, and he said, here's the way. I want you to come. It's a narrow way. It's not an easy way. I want you to come to me. That's always, God always calls us to him. I want you to come in my direction. I want you to come to me. I want you to come into my arms. And one of the things that he's really been impressing upon me, and I touched on it last week, is that it's a hard thing to do, to go through the curtain. That's not easy. And that there's going to be pain. There's always pain in the sacrifice. That it's going to be exposing ourselves. When we hear his voice and when we answer his voice and we respond in obedience and we come when he says come, then it's not even just the temple curtain that gets torn in two. My heart gets torn in two. And that's a hard thing, and I don't like it. I don't expect you to either. That one of the things that happens when we decide that we're no longer going to live that old life, but we're going to follow Jesus Christ, is that we expose our heart to him. And in some ways, we expose our hearts and our weaknesses and our failings to everyone else around us too. And that God does that for a purpose. I don't like it. I don't want to be there. I don't want everyone see my heart. I don't want to see my heart torn open. But what happens when that takes place in our lives is that people can see what's really authentic inside of us. And so a lot of times when we go through those hard things and he calls us to come to him and to go through that gaping curtain that's been torn, what happens is as we're exposed and other people see that, they are going to see what's genuine in us. They're going to see who this Jesus is that we're coming to. It's not easy. It's hard. Because they see our weaknesses. They see how we don't measure up sometimes. But what ultimately they're going to see, though, is if Jesus lives in here, they're going to see that this is someone who loves the Lord. This is someone who loves Jesus. And this is someone who's going to follow him. And people aren't going to see that unless we go through some of the hard things that we go through. You know what I'm talking about. Many of us here, maybe all of us, we've gone through a lot of hard things. We go through a lot of struggles. We have hard time sometimes even just holding on to the peace. We need Jesus for the peace, right? But know this today, just as we kind of start out here, that this happens so that our hearts can be exposed for other people. And they go, well, I see what's going on in your life. And it's, man, I see Jesus in you. I see the love. I see this couldn't happen. This couldn't happen in any other way except that Jesus has called you and Jesus has embraced you. And I see that what you have is real. It's real. There is a first time that we go through the curtain. There is a first time. Or you sit in a chair and you never go through it. But there is a first time when Jesus calls us and he says, I want you to come to me. And there's a first time where we go, okay. And when we're finally obedient, and you know, some of you have done, maybe some of you haven't. You've never really responded to this, but where Jesus says, I want you to come to me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be born again. I want you to, this is really a birth canal. The first time when we go through the curtain and we listen and we heed the words of Jesus when he says, come to me, it's coming through as a birth canal. We come through and there's new life. There's something about me that's no more what it was before. All that sin is gone. It doesn't mean it's all going to be easy, but I am now born again. You know what a Pold Herford is? Anybody know what a Pold Herford is? There's a couple of farmers here. Come on, you guys. You live in Alberta. A Pold Herford is a Herford, which is a type of a cow that doesn't have horns anymore. It's genetically been removed. They do this over time. They breed a woman cow, no, a cow with a bull. And eventually, when they no longer produce horns, that's called polled. So you can be a Pold Herford, you can be a Pold Simmental, different kind of breeds. Sometimes, and why did I bring that up? Because sometimes I hear people talking about Christianity like that. It's like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those born again kind of Christians. I'm a Herford, but I'm not a Pold Herford. I'm this kind of a Herford. Or maybe I'm not a Herford at all. I'm an Angus. The kind of cow I am is an Angus. I had someone the other day say to me, well, you're not one of those crazy born again types, are you? Yeah. Woo! You see, the way I understand this is the way Jesus taught it in John chapter 3. And I don't know if you got it there, but in John chapter 3, Jesus didn't say that there were polled and unpolled Christians. He says, you're born again. And that's the only thing that really matters, and it's the only way that we're going to be defined is by this birthing process. You need to go through the curtain. You need to turn from the ways you were living and need to turn towards Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You believe that? That's God. That's Jesus saying those words. You don't get in by being some form of a Christian or some denomination that you go to, or because your mom was a Christian, you think you're getting a free ticket in. That's not how it works. This works one way, and that's by being born again. And that's why Jesus said in verse 7, that's why you must be born again. It's not a choice. You don't get to just pick and choose. You must be born again. And that means that somewhere along the line in our lives, try to understand me here today, somewhere along the line in our lives, we hear the voice of Jesus. We know that he's real. I think most of us here know this. He's real. He's working in my life. He's showing himself. And we hear his voice. He says, come to me. And somewhere along the line, we said, okay, I'm going to come. I'm going to go through this birth canal, and I'm going to be reborn in Christ. It's a decision. It is an obedience to the call. Come. And we say, okay, I'm going to come. Even if you don't get it, and believe me, I think most people don't get it. They go, I don't know what this is all about. I have no idea what's going to happen when I go through this. But you're calling me. Man, I know you're real. And I know my life is in peril. I'm in big trouble without you. I've got nothing to lose here. So I hear you calling. I'm going to come. And we do. It is the one first time that we go through the curtain. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, you will not even see, he said, you won't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You won't see what's on the other side of the curtain unless you go through it. And I just, you know what? I encourage any of you here today, anyone who hasn't done this, and it's not rocket science, and it isn't a secret prayer, by the way. You don't need to say certain words. You don't need someone to say something and say, now would you close your eyes and, you know, repeat after me. And then after you said all those things, you go, okay, now you're a Christian. Yeah, that's not really what it's about. That might be helpful for some people, but what we're really talking about here is two things. Believing, you got to believe it. Believe it, yeah, and receive it by going through and just saying, okay, I don't know, Jesus, what you got for me. I don't understand you completely. But I do know this, you're calling me, and I'm going to respond to this. I'm going to respond. I believe that you are who you say you are. And when you say come, I'm going to come. Now, one of the problems, though, and I believe this is a huge problem in evangelical church, maybe in the church universal, is that we focus so much on that one time, on that first time going through, that we think that's all that matters. And so we go through, and we've gone through the birth canal, and we go, hey, I'm saved. Where's that chair again? Oh, yeah, there it is. Now, I'm done. I can sit here with Teresa. We can just cross our legs and chat and talk. Because you know what? It's all good. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm forgiven. I don't need to do anything anymore. Right? I went through the curtain. It's like signing an insurance policy. I signed it, so I'm going to get it at the end, right? I'm going to heaven. I'm done. But we're not done. And here's, a lot of people don't realize this, is what Jesus calls us to do, if you're really going to be a builder in the kingdom of heaven and you're going to be a changer, you're going to radically change this world, is you got to keep going through. You got to keep going through. Wait a minute, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you got to keep getting saved time after time after time after time. What I'm saying is, the first time I went through here, I got rescued. The second time, I was a rescuer. Where I was able to be here and say to other people, hey, do you want peace in your life? Do you want to get your life together? Do you want to be forgiven? Then I hear Jesus, he's saying, come. Do you hear him? He's saying, come. See, the first time, I was rescued, but he rescued me to be a rescuer of many, many other people, and not to just sit in a chair, but to hold people, to grab them by the hand, and to say, come, let's go. I want to show you this Jesus. I want to introduce you to him. I want you to know the peace that I never knew before. I know that he's going to make a huge difference in your life. I know that he loves you, and I know that he's calling you too. You understand? It's not just a one-time magic prayer. Christianity is not a one-time magic prayer and you're good to go. It's a life of coming back to this torn curtain. And sometimes it's an awful place. Sometimes it's full of misery and death and addiction. And standing at the door here is hard because you see the brutality, you see the war, you see the cancer, you see the sickness. But he calls you. He calls me to stand here, to be here, and to say, come to Jesus. There's such a better way. There's such a better way to live. In Jude, that's the little book that's right before Revelation, this is what it says in Jude. It says, be merciful to those who doubt and snatch others from the fire and save them by showing them mercy. That's what it's about, right? When you're standing here and you're trying to grab people and help them to know who Jesus is and to show the light of Christ, you are snatching them from the fire. One other example, I love this one. And just think about, as you hear this one from Corinthians, how this ties into the temple curtain. Paul wrote about this in Corinthians 3. Listen to this. He said, but in their minds, and he's talking about people in the Old Testament, about people before Jesus came, and they were all they had was the law, right? All they had was the law. You have to do this, you have to do this, you better keep all these commandments. He says this, but their minds were made dull, for to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Did you hear that? That old veil, that old curtain, the only way that can be removed is through Jesus Christ. And then listen to this. Even to this day, when Moses or when the law is read, a veil covers their hearts. And here's the part, you just, boy, this is so good. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Another way that can be interpreted or it can be described is that when any time anyone turns to the Lord, the curtain is torn in two. Isn't that good? Yeah. This is a birthing canal. Anytime anyone turns to the Lord, the veil that has kept them away from God, that veil is torn in two. And they get to know who Jesus is. And it's the most exciting, the best treasure in our lives is that Jesus says, just come to me. I want a relationship with you. Amen? Come on, guys, remember? Amen? Okay, so I'm not going to go much longer, but I want you to know one last thing, because this is so important, because I can see where this can be kind of a scary thing to listen to. You go, well, this is a daunting task. I don't know if I want this responsibility. There's an enemy, and he's trying to, you know, all his lies, and he's warring against me and my family, and I don't know if I can do all this, but you don't need to know this today, that God does it with you, all right? That this business of building the kingdom of God is the business that we do hand in hand with Jesus Christ. It's never just me standing here saying, come on, come and get to know Jesus. Let me show you how much he loves you. Let me teach you how gentle he is. Let me show you what he's saying. It's always God with his hand in mine. Always. He does this with us. As a matter of fact, didn't we learn last week that he lives in me? Anyone learn that? We knew it before, but okay. If that's true, if Jesus is living inside of me, then I don't do this alone. I could never do it alone. I can't save anyone anyways. The only saving that can happen is through Jesus. And he does it with us. So you don't need to be afraid. If Jesus is living in my heart, what do I have to fear? I don't know what you're afraid of today. Maybe you're afraid of what people think, or you're afraid of your credit card that's way overmaxed, or you're afraid of a job you don't have, or you're afraid of some people, or you're afraid of your past. You don't need to be afraid. I just make that a declaration today. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid that you're going to fall again or you're going to get back into that addiction. You don't need to be afraid because Jesus holds your hand. He's with you. He's with you. And yeah, life is a storm. We agree with that? Man, life can be so hard. And it's a storm, and the wind and the waves keep beating against us. And it seems like when things go wrong, they just get worse. There you go. Don't be sorry. All right. Hey, you know what? If God's calling you to do something, don't wait for me. So that's cool. And Daniel, you don't do that alone. That's what I'm trying to say here today. None of us do this alone. And thank God we have community. We have each other. We encourage each other. We walk this walk together. But you got to know this, that Jesus is walking with you today. And whatever it is that's hard in your life, whatever you're afraid of, even your past, you know, he says, I don't even remember that anymore. I just want to walk with you. I so much want to be building this kingdom. It's my kingdom. I want to hold your hand. I want you to come with me. And I want to show you the amazing things that we can do together as long as you recognize that I'm in your heart and that I'm leading you. That's so amazing. It's so amazing. And yeah, there's storms. We've all gone through storms. And there are going to be more storms. And there's going to be answers to questions that I don't have. I wish I had answers to a lot of questions. I don't get some of those answers. There's going to be winds. There's going to be tornadoes. It's going to be hard things. But Jesus has the ability to calm the waves. Can we just show that from Matthew? And I'm going to be quick here, but you know the story about when the disciples are in the boat, right? Disciples are in the boat, and there's this huge storm going on, and the wind and the waves are blowing the ship apart, and they're afraid, they're terrified, they're crying out, "Where is Jesus? What's going on?" And Jesus walks out to them. You remember the story? Right? He walks out to them, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, then why don't you tell me to come?" And Jesus says, "Okay, Peter, just come." So then Peter comes, right? And when, of course, we know the story, and then he sinks down because he doesn't have the faith, and his faith is weak, and yet Jesus just still picks him up. He doesn't condemn him. He picks him up. He says, "Peter, oh, you of little faith." Now, why we get to this part of the story. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught Peter. "Oh, you of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And I want you to notice something here. It says that when Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind completely died down. When Jesus climbed into the boat, suddenly, it was just quiet and peaceful. Except, you know what? It didn't say that. That's not what it says at all. It does not say when Jesus got into the boat. What does it say? When they got into the boat, the wind died down. He does this with us. Could he do it for us? Could he have just gotten into the boat and made everything? Yeah, he could have. That's not what Matthew says. Matthew says that Jesus held Peter's hand, and when they got into the boat together, suddenly the boat stopped rocking, and the wind stopped blowing, and the waves stopped beating against the side of the boat. He chooses to do this with us. He chooses to hold our hands, and he says, "Now what we're going to do here is we're going to bring peace. We're going to bring peace to this world through the blood of Jesus Christ." And I want to encourage you this morning to understand that this is exactly the calling that every one of us has, is to be a peacemaker. That we have the ability to get into the boat. And there's lots of people's boats around us that are shaking like crazy. And there's winds that's blowing. And Jesus says, "I want you to help me. Let's get into the boat. Let's get into Mel's boat. Let's get into Teresa's boat. We're going to bring a peace and a calm that she's never experienced before." You have the power, because of Jesus who lives in you, to bring peace to people. But we don't practice this very well. I encourage you to do this. We're going to start doing it. We have some of our leaders in this church. We're starting to actually put this into practice. But we all need to do this so that we're coming upon people. We're just passing on the peace. Just shalom. Huh? Hey, God is with you. God's with you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Right? Don't be afraid. Peace. Shalom. It's going to be okay. I know you're worried. You're worried, right? Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't either. I just want to give you peace, because Jesus gave me the peace to give it to you. Okay? We have the ability to do this. We also, by the way, have the ability to stir the pot. We stir the pot. We talk about each other. We get mad at somebody. We say, "I'm so mad at that guy." Well, I would be mad too. You should be mad at him. I'm telling you, what that person did, that's stirring the pot, right? We do this. We do this a lot more than we do this. Peace, be still. And sometimes when you do that to somebody, I'm not suggesting you go around touching everybody, by the way, but sometimes when you do that, they're still doing this. And you just got to do it again. Peace. Forget that part. Right? Just peace. I want to be a peace. I want to be someone who shares the peace. Like the song started. We started with, be still. Just be still. We have a choice to make as we get up in the morning and go through the day. We can get all riled up. We can listen to the people around us who are all riled up. We can rile them up more. We can feed that, or we can just say, the peace of Christ. Russell, the peace of Christ be upon you. Just receive his peace. Just receive the peace. Tell people it's going to be all right. Tell them that Jesus is alive, that he stepped out of an empty tomb. Tell them that Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Tell them that he's the Prince of Peace. Shauna, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is your peace. May the shalom, may the peace of our God rest upon you. And all the worries, all the regrets, all the hurt, may that just fade away today. Amen? Yeah. And Gertie, he's your peace. You don't need to worry about your mind or how busy you are or the Emma. I just pray upon you the peace of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. The peace of Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of the Holy Spirit be upon you. Amen. And you don't need to worry about Malachi. You don't. And I know that he's big on your heart. The well of the peace. And you know what's really important when you do this? You actually look people in the eye. May the peace of Christ be upon you. Because he loves you. Do you get it? See, the Bible says that we have the ability with our mouths to either allow fresh water or salt water to come from our mouths. We have the ability to bless or to curse. I just want to bless you. I bless you, Tara. I bless you in the name of Jesus. One of the things I read today, which this isn't just, I don't want to point this, I'll just say it to someone else. Maybe it's for you, but there's someone else here who needs to hear this today too. Is one of the things I read today is that he says that we have this ministry of reconciliation. If I had time, I'd get into all this, maybe another time, but he says you have a ministry of reconciling. We can reconcile the world to Christ. We can bring people to Jesus. We just tell them, you're forgiven. Your sins are not counted against you anymore. God loves you, Lenny. Ray, ministry of reconciliation, all that past. There is no past. It's done. He reconciled us to Christ. Christ reconciled us to God, I would say, through his blood. And then it says one thing in there, it says, and your sins are no more. There's something good to tell people, don't you think? Huh? Your sins are no more. And the people will go, well, what about? You don't know. Like, I did some awful things, and I have some huge regrets, and I got into stuff I should never have gotten into. And Jesus goes, they're no more. It's kind of like in hockey when this happens a lot with the Oilers, by the way, where someone scores a goal on them, and then they do a video review, and then they come out on the ice, and they go, no goal, no goal. And everyone goes, yay, that's not a goal. We thought it was a goal, but it's not a goal. That's how it is. You thought it was a goal, it's not a goal. Because Jesus said, I'm not going to count this. It is not counted against you. Amen? Okay, thank you, Lord. So, I encourage you to go through the curtain. I believe that every time we do this with someone, we're going through the curtain. We do this, this is a familiar journey for us. It's going to be a familiar journey where we encourage each other, where we speak peace into each other's lives, where we remind each other that Jesus has paid the price for our sins and we don't need to walk around with our head, you know, down. We just need to look to him and love him. Amen? Daniel, you got something to say? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's good. In fact, let's sing that. We'll just sing it without anything. Just amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Amen. We're going to eat soon here. I just want one more thing, one prayer. I believe there's a few of us here today who just need to respond to this. And again, I'm not trying to twist any arms. I'm not going to yell and shout. I'm not trying to make something happen. It's just a simple question. If you want this peace, if there's just something in your life, and you know you're hearing it today where Jesus is calling, he said, just come. I want to give you this peace. Maybe you had it before, but you don't have it now. Or maybe you've never walked through before, ever. I'm just going to ask you to stand up in a minute and just say, I want this peace. I'm tired of living with the stress and the fears and the worries. I want to be free. It's hard to believe this. Right now, when you look at that curtain, you think, you have no idea what's going to be on the other side, but I will tell you one thing for absolute certainty. What's on the other side? You're going to be all right? Because I'm going to pray for you if you're not, real quick here. That's okay, Sherry. That's actually more important that you're alive here. You okay? Lord, right now for Sherry, just calm her down right now. We pray the peace. Jesus, the peace of Jesus. Let the peace just roll over her, God. Your mighty peace, Jesus. Thank you, God. She is a child of the one true King. Thank you, God. Give her health. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What I was saying is that through there is freedom. Is there anyone who wants, I'm just going to pray, anyone who wants to stand up and it's time for something to change in your life, would you do that now? Annie, Teresa, here we go. It's time. It's been a long time coming, right? That's good, guys. It takes courage. It takes courage. It's time. Anyone else? Dee, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you, God. You can feel free to walk through that just as a, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, right now, this is a kind of a visible metaphor, a demonstration that we want. This is you doing this. I had no intention of doing this, God. You want people to come to you. So right now, you call us to come. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for those who stood up for the things that you need to do in their lives to give them peace. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all stand up? Everyone stand. God, we stand up today as a body of Christ. Amen? We stand up as a body of Christ, and we want to be dispensers of your peace. We want to be passing it out. We want to be peacemakers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We just lift up our hands to you. We lift up our hands. We say, Jesus, have your way. Forgive us for the times that we've stirred the pot. We're agreeing together today not to do that anymore. And instead, we're going to encourage each other to love and good deeds. Hallelujah. We pray for the peace of Christ. We pray for the peace of Christ to be upon us. You are the Prince of Peace. You came to this world, Jesus. You died on the cross so that we could have peace with the Father through your blood. And we all say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you provided the way. Your body is the curtain that was torn. You are that veil that was rent in two so that we could approach the Father and so that we could have this personal relationship with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and the honor, God. And Lord, we all agree right now that for the people who stood up because we need something. We came here today needing you. We came here today needing peace. We came here today needing a touch from you. We came here today needing to be reminded how deep your love is, how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, God, we pray that for everyone who stood up, that you'll provide what they need. Give them what they need, God. Take the fear away. There's some of us, we're just scared to death. We're even afraid to admit it, but we are sometimes, and we just need you. I pray, Lord, that you'll remove the fear, you'll remove the doubt, and that you will help us, Lord, to hold on to your hand. And God, right now, too, we pray that as you hold on to our hands, that together we'll get into the boat. Amen? That together we'll get into the boat, and together we will say, peace, be still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, this is God's parting blessing, and then I invite you all just to make your way. Let's have a great meal together. The peace of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. I'm going to say it one more time. The peace of God, the love of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship of Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Chad, would you play that video one more time just as we leave and receive his peace? Say it. Can we do that? Can you say this to one another as you're eating and as you're mulling around? Just say peace. I offer you peace, the peace of Christ. Amen. Yep.